This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Hey, hockey fans, you know the ins and outs of hockey. It's time to turn that knowledge into cold, hard cash. You can do that at mybookie.ag. Nobody gives you more ways to win than mybookie. They have the very best payouts and better odds than any of the other sports books. You can risk a little or lay it all on the line. Bet on as many games as you want and win big. Join MyBookie now and they will match your deposit halfway all the way up to $1,000. Just use promo code THPN to activate this amazing offer. Pick your games and visit MyBookie.ag. Use promo code THPN and turn your hockey knowledge into cold hard cash. You play, you win, get paid. Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube. Flames pound the rival Canucks, but not without another loss on the blue line. Welcome to Flames Unfiltered, episode number 39, recorded on February 9th, 2020. I am the host of the show, Brad Berube, and I don't even know how I feel about this team anymore. Do you guys know how you feel about this team? Because it is an up-and-down world these days in Calgary. Playoffs hopes live and die with each game played. Friday was a complete ready-to-write-this-team-off for me. And then Saturday, I don't know. It was pretty much scary to say, but their most complete game of the year? Is that too much? Am I going out too far? And it's over the rival Canucks, which I love beating. And that win last night, when I was ready to write them off on Friday, I don't know, got me thinking twice. Man, it was a fun and an entertaining game. Isn't it fun to win? Like, this year's been rough. And no, we're not Detroit and we're not LA, but gosh, like, what else is going to happen in Calgary this year? It's been crazy. I don't know. I learned another thing on Saturday. Is there another player, with the exception of Marchand, don't forget him, that you would like to crush more than Elias Pettersson? The whole game, I was just waiting for, I just wanted people to drill him. I did. Every time someone goes near him, he gives that little slashy stick work behind the play. It drives me crazy. He thinks it's okay to do it just because he weighs 140 pounds. And I loved that right away the Flames preyed on him and completely took him off his game. Saturday was hockey day in Canada. One of my favorite days of the year. It really is. The stories on CBC and Sportsnet do. It's just, I don't know. There's something about that day that just brings the whole country of Canada and the whole, you know, even just the hockey community together. Just a fun day in the matchups, just all Canadian battles and all day long. It's one of my favorite days of the year. We got a jam-packed episode today. We're going to talk briefly about the disappointing Nashville game on Thursday. We'll roll in and talk a little bit more about the complete effort we saw Saturday night in Vancouver. Then Elijah from Stick and Rink Podcast joined me to discuss the Hockey Day in Canada battle. And then we'll take time to discuss the depleting defense as Giordano and Hamonic go down with injuries. How will the defensive pairings look? Then it's time for Flames news. We'll talk Davidson, Lindholm, Hamonic. Who gets Harvey's doghouse this week? Then we got a Facebook poll. And the question was, will the Flames make the playoffs? Some interesting results on that. And we'll wrap up the show with game previews for San Jose and LA as we got a jam-packed episode and a jam-packed week of hockey.
The Hockey Podcast Network, which Flames Unfiltered is very proud to be a part of, has a great podcast called Ice Analytics. It's a deep dive into hockey analytics, statistical analysis, and how it affects your favorite team. Standings, trades, signings, it's all on Ice Analytics. on the Hockey Podcast Network.
Every team, everywhere. The Hockey Podcast Network.
All right, time to recap some games. Thursday night, Nashville came to Calgary. I was actually kind of pumped for this game. I wanted to see how we responded from that disastrous San Jose game. And I don't know. I don't think we were horrible. Defensively, I thought we were good. But boy, did we lack everything on offense. It just lacked intensity, didn't it? Sam Bennett got us on the board right away, just 33 seconds in. Gotta love it when that happens. Hamonic with the assist, Backlund with the assist. And then, you know what, just when you see this team get up, which hasn't happened very often this year, Dante Fabbro scores his fifth for Nashville, 1-1, just a minute 10 later. Kyle Turris adds his seventh of the year at the 11:43 mark on kind of a goofy one. And it's 2-1 Nashville. Second period, Granlin gets his 12th at the 9:06 mark. We're 3-1, and it doesn't look good for Calgary because I'm sitting here thinking about it as it's going. I'm like, how is this team coming back? Two goals down when we're having a hell of a time getting shots on net. Just, it didn't look good. Rasmus Anderson gets his 4th at the 11:06 mark. 3-2 Calgary, and I didn't feel horrible going down a goal in the third, but then I thought about it as the period started and I thought, look at our other third periods when we've been down. We can't even get shots. And again, only 9 shots in the third period. Calgary loses to Nashville, a team below them in the standings. How many times are we going to talk about that this year? And it's a frustrating night. And as this game ended, I kind of pulled the plug on the team, guys. I'm not going to admit. I'm going to have to admit it. I did. I was frustrated. I was really, really, really frustrated after that one. Following up a San Jose game that had me down in the dumps, a Nashville game kind of sealed the deal. And then Saturday night, this team, which has found a way to do this all year with my emotions, finds a way to come out on Hockey Night in Canada and pound out one of their most complete games of the year and show me some real resilience after allowing another first minute goal and win this game and win it handily. Do you know that it's the first time we've held more than a 1-goal lead in over a month? That's a scary stat, isn't it? We talked stats in the last episode. Unfortunately, Flames fans, there's been some real scary, scary stats lately, hasn't there? I don't like it. I don't like it at all. So this team's got to figure it out. This week is going to be so, so telling. Vancouver game starts out 34 seconds in. The Flames allow a goal. And I'm sure everybody thought like I thought, oh, great. Here we go again. Here we go again. Pearson gets that one 34 seconds in, and then as the faceoff drops, Matthew Tkachuk drops the gloves with JT Miller on the faceoff. And they have a good fight. Pretty even both ways. Tkachuk got him down, but pretty good fight. But what did you guys think after the fight? Because you know what my thought was? Why in the hell is our number 2 scorer on this team fighting? Is he the tough guy that has to spark this team? Does this team sit in the locker room and just depend on Matthew Tkachuk to do every damn thing? I was pissed. Now, I'm not saying he should never fight or should never show his full talent that he has. But come on, guys. Does he have to drive this bus and do everything completely on himself? I did like later in the game, I thought Lucic showed his physical side, and I ripped on him last week. Had a strong check on Stetcher in the first, was moving his feet a lot better. And you know what? He's making himself a physical presence. Roussel gave him a little shot in the second. He threw Roussel to the ice. That is the presence that you have to have. And you know what else I liked against this Vancouver team? And this is why we win these games. Is because It was grit and guts. And they were all over Pettersson right from the start. Michael Backlund, I was so damn proud of him. He was giving it to Backlund. Backlund was giving it to Pettersson every single time he was near the puck. He completely took him off his game. Hell, the fifth goal that Monahan scored, Pettersson totally chickened out on the pass, let the pass go by him because he didn't want to get drilled, causing an odd bad rush, tic-tac-toe. Monahan gets his 17th from Gaudreau and Lindholm. That happened because Pettersson chickened out. We completely took him off his game, and it was amazing, and that's why we won. Dylan Dubé, career-high, three-point game, a goal, two assists. Good for him. Had a really good night, I thought. And you know what? You know it's a good night in Calgary. A damn good night in Calgary. When Milan Lucic and Tobias Reeder score, yeah, that's a good night.
Inside Edge Hockey News is your source for top-notch NHL podcasts, news, and rankings. Check out InsideEdgeHockeyNews.com.
InsideEdgeHockeyNews.com.
Flames Canucks is a great rivalry, and it's always a lot more fun when we win like we did last night, especially in Vancouver. It's time to talk a little bit more about that game. And the guys from Stick and Rink Podcast, Elijah Needham, joins me for a little Flames Canucks talk.
We're going to jump right into this. And, you know, last night it was two teams both on losing streaks from a division just full of losing streaks after the All-Star break. And the Canucks came out with a 6-2 loss, and I'm choked. I'm choked, Brad. You're probably on top of the world right now, but...
I don't know if I'd say that.
Okay. So let's talk about it right now. I mean, my first question for you, it's actually very specific considering we just haven't even said anything about the game yet, but how much does this Tkachuk versus Miller fight actually affect the game, the outcome of the game? Like, does that actually have any direct impact on that outcome?
You know, initially when it happened, I was pissed.
Really?
I was pissed. Okay. Because I have been extremely frustrated with the Flames over the last week and a half. And when he dropped the gloves, I wasn't mad at him, I guess. I was more mad at, like, really, this is what it's come to. Our team has our second leading scorer being the guy that has to not only score the goals to get us back into games, but now he has to fight to get us back into games. And it pissed me off. It pissed me off.
It sounds like it pissed you off because it's like a one man tugging the whole rope kind of thing. That's what you feel like?
That's what I feel like. And I'm not saying that, like, there isn't some of the guys that have been good. Like, I've been really impressed with Lindholm and stuff like that. But, yeah, I was actually pissed. And how much did it change the game? Initially, I would have said it probably didn't. But after hearing some of the post-game interviews and just some of the talk, I think it was maybe more of a wake-up call, maybe.
Yeah, I think it very well could have been. I mean, I was listening to that first 5 minutes on the radio on the way home, and it's crazy how different games can be. And within a minute, I already felt like I had missed a whole hockey game. Like, we got a goal in a home arena that's buzzing when the team's back. We've got a fight from a guy who I'd never expected to fight in that game. So,
no.
And they were saying how it was premeditated, probably came from warm-up. I mean,
fireworks came from warm-up? I mean, they obviously talked about it because as soon as the puck dropped the center and the wing,
yeah.
I mean, it was obviously discussed. But I thought maybe it was discussed, and I didn't, like, replay the tape and try to watch, you know, like, interaction after the goal. But I thought it was more maybe, like, on the bench, like, during the goal line change or whatever, yeah. Where it's like, all right, I need to spark at you, and are you ready to go with me? Or, you know.
Maybe it could have been, yeah. My take on it is that, just kind of getting back to that idea, like, it felt like there was many different hockey games within that one hockey game. And that first minute was all Canucks. I felt it was a good fight for the Canucks, whether if you want to aside momentum to any side of it, I think it was even at worst.
Yep.
If not, it was good for the Canucks. It just kept the energy in the building going. And, you know, there were people on Canucks Twitter saying, like, let's please not have our 20 goal score fighting. But I mean, you got Tkachuk fighting too. So
that's what we were saying too.
Exactly. So, kind of moving on here and going a different direction just for a half second. Brad Baroud from my fan base, he's got a controversial tweet out there right now. He's got a tweet. And it says, I don't have the direct quote, but I'm pretty sure what it says is, there anyone in the NHL more than Marchand that you want to smash other than Pettersson? Now, better words, it probably is used, but basically the most controversial tweet that you could have made, because now all of Vancouver is probably going to place blame on you. But we got to talk about the treatment of Pettersson in that game, because I actually think that was a huge key for him probably having one of his top five worst games of the season.
I think it was huge. I think it was, and I'm not trying to be a smartass by saying this, but it would be worrisome if I was a Canucks fan.
Yeah, definitely. Like, what would be worrisome, the way he reacted, or kind of the game that he had because of it?
Well, it started early. Backlund gave him a good old cross check in the back, and and then it just seemed to take him off his game. And, you know, later on, Backlund, I will admit, kind of gave him a little bit of a slew foot. And then 2 seconds later, Pettersson kind of gave Tkachuk a slew foot. And then it seemed like, Pettersson was taken off his game. And where it was really evident was on the fifth goal that Calgary scored, the puck came through the neutral zone to Pettersson, and he could have easily grabbed it, but there was a Calgary guy bearing down on him to lay a hit on him, and Pettersson let it go, which caused a turnover and resulted in an odd man rush and a goal. And at that point, I'm like, okay, are we actually in somebody's head? Cause we've struggled with that this year. And I'm not saying that I want Calgary to go out and be dirty and hurt people or hurt Pettersson,
absolutely not.
But, you know, it's no secret that when Gaudreau was firing on all cylinders last year, he was targeted.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And if teams, and look at how Johnny reacted in the playoffs. He was a complete no-show. No-show. And
I totally understand your tweet too, because, and maybe you can sympathize this from a fan's perspective, is that when you have your best player or your most skilled player, your superstar, your 100-point guy, and he looks brittle as anything, like he looks like he could crumble at any moment, you're that much more terrified that he's going to take an absolute blockbuster of a hit. Like, when you got Blake Wheeler or Mark Scheifele as your best offensive forwards, you're not really that worried.
No, you're not at all.
So, I mean, I do take issue with that you want, or the way the tweet was worded, because you somehow put Marchand and Pettersson in the same category, which that's like heaven and hell. That should never happen. But
well, I figured it would aggravate. So you got to have those things. You got to have that. Yeah,
that's good fair. Old Canucks Nation isn't usually one to forgive. But
no, and I'm okay with that. I'm good with that.
Okay. So, and just to kind of sum up my opinion of the treatment of Pettersson, I mean, I think it's one thing. It's one thing to analyze the way it's happening and that it is going uncalled the entire time. But this is what I'm going to say, is that that Scott Oak clip that he did in the intermission or at the end of the game, I don't know when it was.
Second,
I think it was near the end of the
second intermission, right?
Yeah, somewhere around then. Almost, I think there was the first play I had issue with, maybe one of the first ones, and every other thing I was okay with. And in fact, I would even go as far as to say that all of those plays, even together, I don't mind as much as the one Grizzly hit that they had in the Bruins game the other day that was like 2.5 seconds late. Like, I would much rather the Canucks have a bench brawl towards that one hit than get a penalty for any of those plays against Pettersson in the Calgary game.
Did it bother you that there was no reaction when Grizzly hit him?
The little cross checks here and there, maybe the slew foot, or maybe any kind of anything that knocks him down viciously, that kind of, I think there should be something. There doesn't have to be a fight. There has to be some sort of conversation.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. But it did seem like a concentrated team effort. Like, there wasn't one flame, you know?
No, I thought Backlund was really hard on him last night, which is very un-Backlund-like. I mean, it really is. I mean,
so maybe the Canucks are double-taking. I've never seen
Backlund do this. So, yeah, I mean, I was actually like giving him props. You know, cause that's very uncharacteristic of him, but, it wasn't like Lucic was bearing down on him, or we weren't like sending goons after him. I mean, we had normal players just making his life rough, and isn't that what you're supposed to do? And
yeah, absolutely. And
I think it was big.
But when you see your best player neutralized like that, of course that the nation's going to get all up in arms about it, you know? So I kind of have a hot take on the game, and maybe just my coaching tip for Calgary here is, and it's kind of a statement, is the Flames team better when Gaudreau is not the scorer or not the guy to finish the play? Like, it seemed like he had a great game setting up every play and being a dangerous guy on the ice, but finding other people. And it seems like the games that I watch of the Flames, which are very few and far in between, it seems like Tkachuk is the driver of the offense, and Goudreau, if he's, I don't want to say the second, but if he's not looked at as like the McDavid of the Flames, then it seems like your team has more success. Is that completely out of nowhere?
We haven't had a lot of success this year with Goudreau, period. And I thought he was okay Saturday, but I don't think he was even close to the levels he was last year.
Definitely not.
I think Tkachuk's a big driver for the offense, but I think our biggest driver, honestly, is Lindholm. I really feel that. And now last night, Lindholm was repaired up with Gaudreau and Monahan, which he played 98% of last year. And I've been really critical of Jeff Ward in line shuffling. I understand why coaches do it, but I think that you have to develop some kind of consistency and work through some good times and bad times as a group with consistent lines to have long-term success. And we've been real quick to be like, oh, haven't scored. It's the end of the first period, and now we need to throw them in a blender. And I think last night just Gaudreau, I think Gaudreau looked better just because he had Lindholm and Monahan going next to him. And, but if I could have the Johnny Gaudreau back of the first half of last year, I would definitely take that back.
Yeah. Cause I guess when I'm visioning the Flames in absolute must win games or playoff games, and I'm looking at who's going to be your biggest impact player, I feel like Matthew Tkachuk is way more physically suited and way more mentally suited to be that guy who has those kind of expectations to, I don't know what play specifically to make, but if Goudreau is the one that you're overlooking, I think that that sets up very well for this Flames team, where he might be a guy who has extreme success in the playoffs if he doesn't have those McDavid type expectations where we're all looking at him for a 3-point night every night.
Well, if he doesn't have success in the playoffs, he will be gone.
Yeah, like that. Is that a fact?
I would be very, very shocked that if we do not make the playoffs or Gaudreau does not have a good first round,
man,
that he will be gone.
Johnny Hockey. Breaking news. Brad Beru.
I believe it. And I'm not the only guy. Eric Francis is big time on this. And I mean, there's tons. It's definitely not just me.
You know, and the one devil's advocate point I'd make to that is you'd be selling him at an all-time low.
I'd be fine with that.
Really? Because well, I guess maybe
what are you going to do? You're going to keep
the realistic side of it is that he is an all-time low bust, or maybe he is a bit of a way lower bust than he was projected.
Well, you guys, he hasn't been sick. Okay, your star players, if you're going to be a team that wins a Stanley Cup, your stars have to be stars in the postseason.
That's a fact.
Have to be.
Yep.
Johnny Gaudreau has had one good postseason, and that was his rookie year when he had to have a strong postseason or he wasn't going to play. He was going to he was going to be a scratch because he was a rookie.
Tough look. It's a tough look for Johnny, but my sports fandom tells me that if the Flames are going to win one cup in the next 7 years, next 5 years, whatever you want to call it, that they're not, all of these guys aren't going to have stellar playoffs every year. I mean, it'd be great if they could be Jonathan Taves and Patrick Kane and just be absolutely flawless in that sense. But in reality, I do trust Sean Monahan and I do trust Johnny Gaudreau to one day figure it out. And you kind of hope that it's along the same lines as the rest of the team. So I'm personally against the side of always trade your star players. I think that's way too NBA and way too give up on your team too quickly.
Yeah.
But Flames Nation, they have a right to think their own opinions, whether or not they're completely wrong or not.
I'm not ready to give up on him, but I don't know how long you can wait.
True.
Because if we wait on him another year, we could get nothing in return. I mean, we gotta move him while he has some term. Because that's our bargaining chip. Is the term at his price. So
what's his price right now?
6'4", 6'5".
Ooh.
So you see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that's even if our
he's
bargaining. Not a
100-point guy, if he's even an 80-point guy, that's a nice term to be moving.
So, you know, and I'm not saying I want to, like, if I was Brad for a living, then I would be pulling the trade right now. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying, like, how many more kicks at the can this core have?
Yeah.
You know, you guys are on your first kick at the can this year.
And that's why it feels you're playing with house money at that point.
I got a quick question for you.
All right, fire away.
Last year, the Calgary Flames had, I don't know the exact number off the top of my head, but it was 6 or 7 guys have career years.
Yeah.
Career years. If you look at Vancouver's stats this year, individual player stats, you're having about 6 or 8 guys have career years.
Yeah.
Does that leave you with a little bit of fear for next year as a fallback a little bit?
I think fear is underselling it and a very underwhelming word for what I feel in that sense, because you and I have talked about this on another content episode before. It's the 12-month effect. Yep. It's you feel invincible 1 year, and then I'm sure you're doing this and Flames fans are doing this right now. You kind of blink and you're like, wait a sec. It's February and Goudreau's having this season and the Flames are where in the standings and my coach is racist and I'm sorry, what? Like, you know, everything's flipped on a dime and it's absolutely insane what happens in sports in that sense. But on that note, this can relate to what we were just talking about in trading players and the kicks at the can and your window. I hate the term window because what is your goal as a sports fan? Is your goal as a sports fan, like for a Canucks fan, I'll bluntly tell you, it's to win one championship in my goddamn lifetime. Like, I don't care when it is, just win a Stanley Cup. So if we have this core and they fail, if we truly believe that they are a Stanley Cup winning core, and maybe it's a bit overinflated this year.
You have a good core. I believe that. You have a good core.
I will believe. And even the depth pieces, I love everything about this team. I think the team right now, with age, can be the winning team. Obviously, people will change in the role supporting roles, but whatever. I don't think that you fire sale and you panic too early. And in fact, I'm way on the crazy side of things where I'm like, don't ever panic. Just ride it out. Let the Sedins play for 18 years. If it doesn't work, whatever. We'll have a great ceremony and we'll call it a day. Because that's where my head is at for a sports fandom. So yes, I am well aware of the 12-month effect, but at the same time, fear is a motivator, Brad.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Yeah, I'm with you. One of the things I see with Vancouver that you guys have some really interesting. I mean, we all are dealing. Calgary is, the list goes on and on for teams that are dealing with, cap crunch. Yeah. Just 12 months ago, you guys had a abundance of cap space.
Oh, yes.
And look at how quickly that has went. And if you look at guys like, well, let's just cut to the chase here. What do you want to see happen with Markstrom? Because this is going to be a real, real interesting 6 months here, 4 months on where you guys go with Markstrom. Because your record would not be what it is now without him this year because he's been amazing.
And touching on the game that just happened last night, I mean, I originally thought just from radio and watching initial highlights and reading some things, okay, he was a bit rough. He let in a couple goals, but it seemed like he was just fighting the puck in the first period. And then I watched some of the rest of the highlights and he was the only reason that game was not 12-2.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now getting to what I think for the future, I think that and maybe it's along the theme of don't deal with your problems and just let them simmer. And if they really destroy everything you love, then whatever. I think we deal with this next year. I do think that. I've talked about this on my podcast endlessly, but it's a 2-goalie league. If you can find a way to lock up 2 goalies in a not outrageous amount of money, which I don't know how it would work with these two.
I know that's
I would love to keep them, but obviously for the expansion draft, it's not going to work. But I do think that there's, you know what, if it came down to it and we were sitting the day before the expansion draft and we have them both under contract, which I would love. And we had to fork over something to Seattle to not take one of them. And maybe it was like, I might even say a first round pick or whatever it is.
Sure. If you got a good core, that's going. I'm good with giving a first round pick.
Exactly. I'm good with a lot, like a first round of prospect, whatever it has to be. I'm not intelligent enough to know what the actual package would be, but I don't give a damn. Like send it over.
Yep.
But that being said, if I had to choose one, I'm going to go logical. Demko, he's got age, but
you feel comfortable letting Markstrom go though?
I'm not really, like not, definitely not this year.
Well, how much, okay, so what is he worth? Cause he's UFA after this year.
Yeah.
And so you have till July 1.
Yeah. So I'm saying sign him for sure.
How much?
I think I've heard anywhere, I've heard that he'll probably ask for 6.5. The Canucks will probably offer 5-7, and they'll settle somewhere in between there. Now, if he has a great playoffs, if they make the playoffs, I feel like I've cursed them. I feel like that number's going up. I feel like it's going up to 7.
And then that almost prices Demko out, because he's not going to be like, well, I'm not. I mean, Demko's going to need money here in a year.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden you got $12 million tied up in goalies, and it's like, yeah, we got the great best goalie, Pat, but now we can't afford Pedersen.
And now we don't have any money. It's
kind of
crazy.
and you're not the only team. I mean, it's going to be interesting for a lot of teams.
It is. And somehow we all have to look towards that nirvana that Boston and Pittsburgh is in, where somehow you convince these generational players and this three-headed monster just take pay cut after pay cut.
I think that you're going to see less and less of that. I hate to admit it, but I always think hockey players are different than a lot of these other sport athletes. And we'll do it for the cup and for a team.
Yeah.
But I think I'm seeing signs of more individualism amongst hockey players too. So the almighty dollar seems to win on that end too.
I don't know. I see it on the Colorado side of things. I think it was it McKinnon that said he would take less?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're going to get some good old Canadian boys that'll do that. But I got a feeling you're going to get a lot of them. They're going to be like, well, why should I take less when, look at the Chicago situation. Duncan Keith takes less, and then Taze and Kane get the money, and he's sitting there going, well, what the hell?
Yeah. I think Crosby has said this, and other guys have said this, it only works if everyone does it.
Yes.
You look like a fool if only half you do it. Like,
yeah.
It's kind of shitty in that sense, but. Here's to hoping, right, Brad?
Yeah, exactly.
This is the problem we have with just generational players on our team. I had another question just about the Calgary roster, obviously, with Giordano out right now. I was just kind of looking at the time of ice and just looking at the flow of play. And who in the hell is your number two D-man? Like, is it just by committee three different guys?
Right now?
Yeah. And not just on paper, but like, you look at TJ Brody, I think, had the most ice time amongst defensemen for you guys.
Rasmus Anderson's going to be our guy.
That's your guy there?
Yeah.
And is he defensively responsible? Like, is he responsible to be called a number two defenseman?
Absolutely. I worry less about him than Brody and Hanifin.
Yeah, and when that Hanifin trade was made, I remember the first year when you guys were buzzing for months on months. And
I like Hanifin. I like Hanifin, but I've crucified him the last couple weeks, so.
Yeah. And it's hard when Dougie has his locker room stigma on him, but I mean, he has year after year of good hockey, so.
I don't miss Dougie Hamilton at all, though.
What is it about him?
He's defensively horrendous.
Okay.
See, one of the things that I get in a lot of arguments with my buddies on is when it comes to defensemen is, I want my defensemen to put up points, but I'll trade some of the points for not shitty turnovers.
Yeah.
And Hamilton was like pizza up the middle every night, I couldn't handle it.
Gotcha. So once again, breaking news is Brad doesn't like entertaining hockey.
I don't like turnovers.
There's the tweet. There it is. That's the revenge tweet for the Pedersen tweet, and it's coming in hot right after this interview. That's about all the questions I got right now. I mean, we have one more matchup. We could kind of just wrap it up by talking about our outlooks for the season. We only play each other another time later in the year. It's in Vancouver. So it's pretty much curtains until the end of March here, and we're both sitting pretty close to each other.
Close, but a mile away in a way. Do you know what I mean?
It does. Yeah. It's 3 points, first to fourth place.
Fifth.
Are you guys fifth now?
Yeah, I think so.
No, when I wrote up this notes today, it was fourth, but things happen. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, we're probably fourth today.
Yeah, fourth today, first tomorrow, out of the playoffs.
You don't
even
know. Yeah, you just don't know anymore.
It's the best division in hockey right now. That's my take on it.
It's the most entertaining. Yes, we are fourth. Sorry.
Do you want to grace my podcast and come on here and just admit that you would rather play Vancouver in the playoffs than Edmonton for pure entertainment?
Yeah. After last night, I definitely. Yeah. Can I believe I'm saying that?
That's what's that?
I can't believe I'm saying that.
I know, right?
Because I think Vancouver's so much more talented as a group than Edmonton. And I think, I might have to take that back because I worry about your goaltending. Your goaltending scares me. Well,
Yep, that's and it should, but
because Koskinen and Smith don't scare me.
No, agreed.
But McDavid scares me.
Well, the funny thing is, before last night's game, I'm pretty sure on that previous episode, I said to you and the other guys, I said if there's one team in the Pacific that I want to play, it's Calgary, and I didn't know why, but yeah. I forget the reasons I used, but now I'm sitting here saying shit. I will take that back. I'll pay to take that back. And I have no clue who I want to play anymore, but
I don't either. I want to play Arizona.
Yeah. I mean, we all suck right now. We're all riding like 2-7-1 in the last 10. Like that's the entire Pacific Division. Once we start praising them, they all just start shitting the bed.
I know. We all think we get good and then it's like, oh, we're not good anymore.
Yeah. It's not like that. Anyways, no. Thank you for coming on, Brad.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah. I'm sure my guys are going to love this content. So good luck to you and the Flames the rest of the season. You'll be seeing us and all of our fans on Twitter. We're coming at you hard.
Oh, you do that. Fire away at me, man.
Love it. All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. Take care.
NHL news, opinions, and controversy.
All right, Flames fans, time to talk about the problem that we've got this week. It's a depleted defensive crew. Giordano went down right on before we recorded our last episode. We were waiting to see what the results were. Now, Hamonic goes down Saturday night, and we're waiting to see what the results are on him. Let's update you on Giordano. He's week to week. Lower body injury, the MRI came back as about as good as you can possibly have it come back. His rehab has already begun. He did not go on the road trip. He has been placed on injured reserve, and hopefully we'll see the captain of the Flames back in the next 2 weeks. We will update on the show as soon as we hear more on where we stand there. Then Saturday night, Travis Hamonic left the game in the mid-second period after a hit from JT Miller. I'm not sure if it's lower or upper body. Have not heard. He came back. He tried it for one shift left. Did not return. No updates from the Flames since they were off on Sunday. Expect to hear more Monday morning. Some inside news. Alexander Yelchin was not in the lineup for Stockton on Sunday in their game in Iowa. He'll most likely be a call-up Monday and join the team. Also received multiple reports that Travis Hamonic was on an airplane flying back to Calgary today and is currently not with the team, which leads me to believe that this injury is just a little bit more serious than a day-to-day thing, more probably like a week-to-week thing. Which definitely does not make me or Flames fans happy. Now, defensive pairings, where do we go? Let's assume Hamonic is out for the next week and Giordano for the next two. Here's what I would do. Brody Anderson would be my top pairing. Hanifin Stone would be my second pairing. Shillington Davidson would be my third. Yelchin would be my spare. And you know what's really funny about this? We've been hating on Hanifin. I was terrible about that. And Brody earlier in the year. And now look at how much we're going to depend on those two. Now, I've been singing praises of Anderson and Stone all year. And I thought Stone, again, was very, very good against Vancouver. You guys, this is a guy that we should actually consider signing for next year. Because can you get any more stable on the back end than Michael Stone? He's going to help this team, and he's going to help them a lot as we get through these injuries. Now, Calgary's had a very, very, very difficult season with more things happening than you can even shake a stick at. But you know what? One thing we've escaped this year, and I warned of it in our preseason episodes, is last year we escaped injuries. And I said, I don't see how we can have 2 years in a row where we escape injuries to the level we did last year. And for the most part this year, with the exception of Bennett getting hurt and a couple little odds and ends ones earlier this year, we've escaped injuries. Well, now it's time to face that adversity. Now we got injuries. Now let's see how the Flames can handle them.
CoolHockey.com is your number one source for authentic and customized NHL jerseys. Use promo code THPN and receive 25% off your order. CoolHockey.com.
CoolHockey.com. Jerseys online since 99.
All right, Flames fans, a little bit of Flames news. Thursday, the Flames recalled defenseman Brandon Davidson from Stockton of the American Hockey League. Elias Lindholm, who's been our most solid and consistent player as this season has gone, is currently on a 6-game point streak. So good news there. He has rejoined Monahan and Gaudreau on the first line. You know how I feel about Jeff Ward and his lines. That's probably going to change for next game because they were good. So I don't know. I would just hope, I just pray that we can just get some lines. I don't even give a crap what the lines are anymore, to be honest with you. I want the lines and I want to just keep them through good and bad and let this team battle through it. Other Flames news, Travis Hamonic's brother Jesse Hamonic has completed his quest to watch his brother play in all 31 arenas. He has collected pucks from each of them. We'll be displaying them. And you know, what a really cool family accomplishment. Jesse's really close with Travis. And it's fun to see how they interact and how, I mean, I would give anything to be able to do that with my brother if he was a National Hockey League player. Just a great, great story. I loved hearing about it this week and seeing him complete it on Saturday night as Rogers Arena was his final stop on that quest. Harvey's Doghouse. Well, I'm going to shoot a target at probably the easiest target out there, and that's Johnny Gaudreau. Is it just me, guys, or has he been invisible? Now, he had 2 assists on Saturday, and I thought he was a little better Saturday. I thought he was invisible against Nashville, invisible against San Jose. He's minus 15 this year. He's never been a minus player in the National Hockey League, ever. To catch up to last year's pace, just to put to how struggling he is, to catch up to last year's point pace, he would have to average 2.12 points per game to catch up to last year's pace. In a game on Saturday night where I thought most players were pretty good in white, I thought Gaudreau was okay, but I'm really tired of watching him just lazily stick check things and not have the emotion and the grit and the determination and, quite honestly, the happiness. That's probably what scares me the most of all. Johnny Gaudreau doesn't look happy. And no one's happy when you're not winning. And no one's happy when you're not scoring. But I learned one thing in life. When things aren't going your way, bitching and pouting doesn't change it. It only makes it worse. Time to talk fan question. I did a Facebook poll this week. It started at Saturday morning, ended it here about 7 o'clock on Sunday evening. My great friends at Flames Fan, Calgary Flames Fan, and Flames Unfiltered Facebook groups, please go on and join these Facebook groups. If you like this podcast, go join these Facebook groups. I love interacting with these fans. I do it on a daily basis, probably too much. Again, great results. 611 votes in. The question, will the Calgary Flames make the Stanley Cup playoffs? Pretty simple, pretty easy question. 420 people responded with yes. That's 68.7%. 191 said no. That's 31.3. Now, the reason I came up with this question is that after looking at the calendar and after looking at where we're at with this season, it's about time for Brad Treliving to make his determinations on where we go with this team. Is it time to sell off? Or is it time to make a push and acquire for the playoffs? This week will determine a lot, as Calgary has San Jose Monday, the day this comes out, Los Angeles Wednesday, Anaheim Thursday, all on the road, followed up with Saturday night, Chicago comes to Calgary. Every one of those teams is below us in the standings. Every one. This team has been god-awful against that all year, and it's time to change that now.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
All right, two games to preview. As this episode drops Monday morning on the Hockey Podcast Network and flamesunfiltered.com, Monday night, Calgary will take on San Jose in San Jose. The Sharks currently 24-27-4, 52 points, good for sixth in the Pacific. The last game for San Jose was a 6-3 pounding of Edmonton, which I loved every minute of it, last Thursday evening. Calgary currently sits 28-22-6, 62 points, good for fifth in the Pacific. Boy, did you ever think San Jose and Calgary would be 5-6 in the Pacific? That's scary to say. I thought they'd be 1-2. I did. I thought San Jose was going to win it. Calgary second. Oof, was I wrong? But anyways, we're fifth and sixth, so we need to change that. Last game for Calgary, 6-2 win over Vancouver. Talked about that quite a bit earlier on in the podcast. The season series. San Jose won game one, 3-1 in San Jose on October 13th. San Jose did it again, 3-1 in Calgary on February 4th. And this is their final matchup. Oh, excuse me. No, they do play one more time on March 23rd in Calgary. On Wednesday night, Calgary continues the California swing, which used to be a gauntlet to get through. And this year should be points, better be points, or we're in big trouble. Wednesday night, they go to the Staples Center and take on LA, who has been pure hell for the Flames this year. In game one of the year on October 8th in Calgary, LA won 4-3. October 19th, just a little over a week later, Calgary lost 4-1 to LA in LA. In December on the 7th, Calgary did finally get their first win against the Kings this year, a 4-3 win in Calgary. Wednesday night's matchup will be the final meeting of the year for these two teams. Anaheim is the next stop for Calgary on Thursday night. We will talk and preview that game on Wednesday's episode. We record Wednesday night, drop Thursday for the second podcast of this week. And then we'll also talk Chicago on Saturday night. This week determines the fate of the season for the Calgary Flames in my mind. Many of you will agree, some will disagree, but these are points, critical points, and this team needs to make a push. It's crazy to think that we are in fifth place right now, the final wild card spot, and really in the division, we are only three back of the leader, Vancouver. It's been a crazy, crazy year in the Pacific Division, and this week, it's must points for the Calgary Flames.
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter. At Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey. Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This production is copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.